Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Hi, and welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm one of your hosts this evening. My name is Steve.
This is Nicole.
This is Rich.
And we are live from... Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, Peter.
Hello?
Oh, okay. We're not on yet. Okay.
Sure.
Oh, we're on? Okay. And that was Peter Leonard, and we are coming to you live from the Shops at the Finish Line right here in Utica, New York. And yes, it wouldn't be a show without a little problem with our equipment, would it?
Technical
difficulties. Thank you. That's right.
So how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing this evening?
Pretty good night so far, except for snow outside.
Oh, yeah, snow. All right. So what do we got going on this evening? What topics we got tonight?
Did you tell them where you're live from tonight?
Oh, absolutely did. Would you miss it?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to find the right hole. I can't find...
Oh, no.
Here live at Shops at the Finish Line with Utica Brews, 809 Court Street, Utica, New York. Come on down. I just had a lot of muffalata, and I'll be in the bathroom.
Very shortly, right? Yes.
Not that it wasn't good. It was good. It was just... I ate more than four humans usually should eat.
It was a lot. It was a lot, to say the least. But that's our Pete.
The food is excellent. I just had the gym rat here. It's great. Marcus is a great cook.
There was an option?
Oh, it was. You didn't see breakfast all day?
No.
Oh, I guess you messed up then, didn't you? Oh, well. We're going to move. We're going to move on.
So what do we have going on tonight?
Not too much.
Well, Larry's been getting some interesting hits upstairs.
Oh,
he's doing
right.
An investigation.
Yes, he is.
Here he is.
What is he getting? Right.
What are you getting, Larry?
A couple different things that I don't know how we're going to work this through the mics, but whatever. I was going to go up and do it a little more, but since we're already there, I'll queue up the things that I found, and we'll go along. Yeah.
Louder.
Yeah, we're
having some mic issues.
We're having mic issues this evening, so.
Come stand over here.
It's so we're using a new soundboard here that the shops graciously let us use, and yeah, everything looks like it's functioning properly, so we apologize if there's any technical difficulties is we don't seem to be experiencing any, but we had a little bit of trouble hearing our announcer come through the radio network. So anyways, we're at the shops and it is Tuesday night and it's snowing out. And yeah, this is a place that we've investigated several times, and we've got some really good EVPs out of here. I was playing some of those for the people who attended the Paranormal Coffee Talk earlier. This is Rich, by the way. Yeah, it's a place that welcomes the paranormal. They welcome their ghostly friends and all that kind of stuff, and kind of hope to use that as a mechanism to help draw people to their the store here. What's really interesting about this place, it's about four different shops. It first started as a restaurant when we first started coming here, just as breakfast. Then it kind of went into like lunch. Then they got their liquor license, or not liquor license, beer and wine license. So now you can come in here, well, the coffee shop for them. So now you can come in here, coffee, food, snacks, pastries, wine, and beer. Why would you ever want to
leave? Right? I agree.
Then, if they so happen to get you a little intoxicated, they'll bring you up onto the second floor where they'll sell you some beautiful furniture that they have up in the furniture store. So, the beds and some dressers.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that the beds look very comfortable up there. So,
yes. So
if you drink a little bit too much, I'm Sue. Sue is the owner here, Sue Keller. Thank you very much for the use of your facility this evening.
One of the funniest things that we've ever done in the paranormal came out of this place when we had the weatherman, Jeff Matthews from WUTR-TV here, and he was a huge fan of the paranormal stuff. He researched it online. He got books on it. He was just like, so into the historical thing and finding it, going all the haunted places, like his bucket list. And then essentially, we took him upstairs and we're doing an EVP session, And Pete said something to the spirit box, like, who's sitting next to me? And all of a sudden the name Jeff came out. And he heard it, because he stood up and said, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to do this. Walked out the door, and we never saw him again. Literally, never saw him again. I don't think he's even on WTR anymore. I mean, obviously, not why, but...
you never know. We have that effect.
He's gone from the area now, so... I mean, and that's all it was. All he did was say his name. All the things that we've experienced, it just said, Jeff. It wasn't even like, Jeff.
It was just like a regular Jeff.
Yeah. So, but you know, some people freak out. I get it. You know, it is what it is. So, anyways, what are we going to talk about tonight? Let's talk about some paranormal stuff. That's what we're here for.
Are there any questions out there?
Does anybody have any questions?
No. All three of you.
I sort of do. I wish I knew about the Jim Broth.
There's a question.
I might still go order one.
Oh, there you go, but you can't handle it.
I have an audio recording that it looks like I just ended up getting. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Lean over closer.
That I just ended up getting, and would you like to hear? I don't know how well it's going to play over the mic here.
Well, you could try, but it probably won't.
You don't think it will?
Very well,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just got, you'll hear it. I just got done asking, do you work here, or something like that? And... you can, it's pretty clear what I got, so.
Let's hear it.
Do you work here?
And it comes a couple seconds after. It's my job, I'm working. I'll play it again. Bye.
He's got a little bit clearer of a mic.
Right over here.
Can you hear through that or not?
Yeah.
So, that was pretty great. And then there's a couple other ones. Go about your business.
Now, what did you use to, I mean, obviously, not a recorded report, but what were you using to the spirit box?
That you're
the newer one?
Yeah.
The SB-11?
PSB-11.
PSB-11, okay. That seems to be, that's actually not the newest spirit box. They took the SB-7, the little one, and they modified it slightly so that it, I guess it does an enhanced band, or I think it now does EM and FM for and backwards. I don't think he did that in the first picture.
No.
So the spirit boxes have become an integral part of our investigation. I've got some really good stuff on them. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, yes, I hear all that stuff, but if you listen closely with headphones, a lot of times you can pick something up. You know, a few things, one word answers.
Very seldom you get whole sentences, but we've actually had whole sentences during investigations, which are very rare and very welcome, but very seldom do we ever get any.
Right. Well, that's not
exactly
true, because I know that you guys did one, Stephen Pete did one, because I want to hurt the kid.
I want to punish. I want to punish. I'm sorry, Rich. I want to punish the girl. Yes.
Yes. That was actually pretty amazing. Let's
play a game. Actually, that whole night and that whole investigation was very, very amazing.
I was just listening. We need to be a little louder on the.
Oh, okay.
Because right. I just brought the BBS link up. It's really soft.
Okay. All right.
So normally it's much quieter when we do these shows, but we're actually in a kind of a restaurant place. You can hear. There's some background noises going on, so don't be alarmed. It's a busy place.
I hate to interrupt, I know you get, but I ended up catching one more thing that I'd like you to hear. Now, what I like doing when I have a ghost box or a spirit box is ask questions that cannot be thought that, like, I don't want people to think that they're at a radio, so I'll ask questions like, what's my name and things like that, that aren't so much numbers as an answer. So what I did was I like to play a game. I'll say repeat after me. I'm going to say a fruit, and it repeats after me. Then this is pretty clear also.
Let's play a game. I will say a fruit, and you will repeat after me. Let's start. Apple.
Wow. Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you will repeat after me. Let's start. Apple.
Wow.
It's almost like it's a paranormal game show. Ooh, what ghost
wanna hey, Larry, you just caught that.
I just caught this about 15 minutes ago or so.
Amazing.
So I'm going to go back upstairs. I'm going to keep doing it. If I catch anything else, I'll come back down. And
all right.
Cool.
Great.
Well, if we haven't notified you, we're actually at an active location, and that's what Larry's using our SB11 to go up there and get some audio recordings. Okay, did you guys hear about the house that's possessing, again, they call it the Devil House? No, I'm sorry, the Portal to Hell House.
Zach Bagans bought it, right?
The one in Gary, Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
The family claimed that they were tormented by evil spirits, and a young boy apparently possessed. Well, they knocked it down.
I heard that.
Really? Yep. Yep. So, that is the one that Zach bought.
He had it knocked down, didn't he? Yeah. I read that.
Apparently, he put it up for sale. The buyer was none other than Zach Bagans of Ghost. The article says Zach Bagans of Ghost Hunters. This is terrible. Of Ghost Adventures. And we are quite friends surprised he decided to throw in the towel and have it torn down because this is one case where even we have a hard time being entirely skeptical about giving the starting first-hand evidence from not only the family, but also the police officers, medical professionals, and members of the clergy. So why did he knock it down?
What have we learned in the past about spirits being attached to property, and even though the house is down, does that mean it really is going to make it disappear?
Not necessarily. It's usually the land.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Not the house. But essentially, I think he bought it to be some kind of tourist destination.
Oh.
You know, you can buy tickets, stay the night, investigate it, because, you know, apparently it was demonic haunted.
He's also doing a documentary out of there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Did that ever finish up, or?
I don't know.
I knew he bought the house, and that's when one of the crew members ended up leaving.
It's a freaky place. But it's been my personal experience with Zach Bagans that he does use the word demonic an awful lot.
A lot, yeah.
I mean, every episode Musa watches, feeling a demonic entity. I don't know. Very well could be, but to be quite honest with you, I still think it's very rare. But it may not be the case with this place. I read a lot about this place. The family was basically pretty much on the verge of going insane. So.
Do we know of any other paranormal investigators that have had experiences there or have investigated that property besides Zach?
Well, I'm sure they have. That's how it ended up getting on the show, because essentially, you know as well as I did, when we got John Zappa to the Hulbert House, apparently someone had to introduce it to him. So somebody had to go and investigate it and then tell someone about someone else, which is probably the case for this specific thing. But have you ever been to Gary, Indiana?
No.
No.
It's a scary place.
Is it?
I mean, you take all the ghosts and the demons out of the equation, Gary, Indiana is still a scary place. It's one of those cities that got hit really hard, like a decade ago. I mean, where it's almost like abandoned. It's in a really rough shape.
I think that place, Gary, if I'm not mistaken, has had its share of problems financially. It's been going downhill steadily since the 70s and 60s. Yeah, it's a very, you wouldn't want to live there.
No.
You wouldn't want to live there at all.
So maybe that's why Zach had it knocked down. Probably couldn't find a buyer for it. Who's going to buy
that place? That or it's, you know, it has to have a lot of repairs to it. Codes, it's not within codes. He finally probably said just knock the darn thing down, and that's what they probably did.
Again, who's going to buy it? It'd have to be somebody like Zach Bagans or somebody in the paranormal field would want to buy the house knowing its history. You should put a Century 21 sign on it. and bring in someone with a gold jacket showing around. This is a living room. Get out. Did you hear
something? Time to leave.
Yeah. No, definitely not going to happen. I don't, you know, again, I think he bought it to turn it into like a destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like rolling hills and places like that. People buy it, they turn it into a paranormal destination. So let me ask you a question. What places do you want to investigate? And I'm talking about famous places that, you know, have been featured on many of the paranormal shows. Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, all the other ones I'm trying to check.
I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in San Diego, California. And the one place that I would really like to investigate is the Whaley House.
Whaley House.
Yes. I would love to get into there. But the last time I heard, they didn't even allow the ghost hunters, you know, in there. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's the truth or not, but they don't allow too many investigators into that place because I guess it's that the furnishings and everything are really, really old, and they're antiques and really expensive. Yeah, absolutely. So they don't allow too many people in there. You can go there to on tours and things they have. I've never been in there. It's situated in Old Town, and you ever want to have a good Mexican dinner, that's the place to do it. But
been there. Can
you go? Oh, have you? Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's the one place I really want to get into.
I think I would have to say Lizzie Borden.
I would have
too.
To.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay,
surprisingly, the Lizzie Borden house has been modernized quite a bit.
Oh, really?
And very, very clean, neat. And you look at it, and it's got like a nice, like, paved parking lot and everything around it now. Kitchen's really nice. The furniture in there is beautiful. It's been very well taken care of and updated. The boiler system and everything has all been modernized. Central air and everything. So, I mean, they definitely modernized it, but they do events there. And it is supposed to be pretty, pretty active. I mean, I actually saw a picture. Someone took an orb. Okay, remember we talked about this earlier. It's on camera. It's not an orb. It doesn't. But when they blew this orb up in the photo, it was actually a picture of Lizzie Borden's father. You see his face, the hair, and the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Quite bizarre. Chris Moon Hawkins. And he looked, it's like an orb, right? We blow it up, there's a face.
Wow.
And then so you can see the mustache and the black hair. And of course, the home has the actual autopsy photos of her parents that were handed up right there on the table. I mean, gruesome autopsy photos. Their faces cut in half.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It's pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Kevin?
For me, I'd have to say it's a bit of a toss. I mean, I'd love to get down to Louisiana, Mississippi. Really, I want to get down to the Plantation House. I really want to get it down there. A lot of them. The Myrtle Plantation is by far one of my tops.
Good choice.
But if I had to choose only one place that I definitely want to get into and I want to investigate, I'd have to say it'd be the White House. I mean, there is so many known entities in that house. Yeah, how can you pass that up? It seems like almost every room you turn to, there's a story. A president or a first lady that is stone cold.
Well, let's just say this. If Donald Trump becomes president, that might be a possibility.
Go Trump!
I'm voting for him now.
To be frank with you, the only candidate who probably won't win. I think candidates in a sense about business. So,
yeah.
Okay, so my choice, Waverly. I definitely go there. That place is humongous. 40,000 people died there. They have a place called the Death Tunnel.
I've seen that, yeah.
It's a little bit of a hike, but to be quite honest with you, I mean, I think it's amazing. Just look at pictures at the single line, it's just intimidating to look and see it from the road. And to go in there at night, I mean, there's photographs that people took. They believe are demons and imps outside on the lawn, stuff like that. Creatures with ears and stuff. I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, it really is. So that's definitely going to have my vote. Either that or Bobby McGee's.
Oh, that place is Bobby Mackey's. That place is off the hook.
Thank you. Yes,
that place is nuts.
And I was talking to Dave about it. Let's do an R.I.P. trip. I'm not going there.
Matter of fact,
scared.
Matter of fact, Rich, I think it was the ghost Zach Bagans crew that won't even go there no more. Period. I seen one of their shows where they actually met somebody outside down the road from that place because I guess it called their names out, their wife's names out, and it freaked them out so bad they want no more part of it. They'll never go back in there, they said. So, that kind of would be a good place to go.
Let's talk about the paranormal rant of the week.
All right.
On Facebook. This is from our buddy John Davis. You got to admire John. John speaks the truth when it comes to paranormal. And this post actually speaks volumes. And essentially, it goes a little bit like this. What the hell is going on? Okay, if you don't like the paranormal shows, just don't watch them. I can't understand all the bashing that is going on. Before you post, look into things. Just don't, by the way, someone has told you. I've been around for a long time, and today it seems like it's an epidemic of people who are out there who are putting up site after site looking to book a television show and are now paranormal investigators, and even better, a demonologist. We talked about this earlier during our coffee talk presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's trying to become a demonologist. They can't be a paranormal investigator if they want to become a demonologist. You know, I mean, it takes years of training to do something like that, to study all the books and the religions and all that kind of stuff. But he goes on basically to say that you also cannot go in and help people that aren't willing to help themselves. And that's a valid point. The people must take an active role in ridding their homes and lives of paranormal activity. Lately, I'm hearing that I don't know or understand what I'm talking about. My reply to that is then, why bother emailing and calling me? So they're telling him, yeah, but you don't know what you're talking about. He goes, great, then don't bother communicating, email, call me if I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, here's a guy who's been doing this for, I'm going to take a stab, 30 years, maybe less, maybe more. And essentially, most of the cases that he's been involved in that were claimed to be demonic were not demonic. They're either like mental health issues, you know, a negative entity, which is a far cry from demonic. And essentially, I agree with him. If you don't like something on TV,
stay away from it.
You know, if you're not a fan of Bigfoot, don't watch Finding Bigfoot. But first of all, they didn't find Bigfoot. Yeah. But that's besides the point. Don't watch it if you think it's ridiculous. Do something more constructive than what? And let the people that like the shows watch.
Right.
There's some validity to it.
Yeah, great.
You know? And his point being is, you know, going back five to ten years ago, there was a bunch of people online. One was called Worst Paranormal. One was called Paranormal Police. And these guys would, like, throw these guys like John Zappas, Grant Wilson, all them under the table. Chris Boone, especially, the huge target. And basically told them, you know, throw these scientific things at them. You know what you're talking about? How can you quantify this? What is it? You know, all this kind of stuff. And then I talked to Grant Wilson about it one day because they started calling me and saying, oh, yeah, these paranormal investigators, you've got entertainers. Are they entertainers or are they investigators? And I talked to Grant Wilson and he said, don't even respond. You respond to these people, you give them energy, and you give them a reason to continue on. If you ignore them, they go away.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that this paranormal police guy lived in his mother's basement. Unemployed, lived in his mother's basement. So I don't know what qualifies him as a paranormal investigator or someone who basically knows enough about the paranormal to basically throw everyone's ideas under the bus. But he went away. No one would listen to him. He kept crying and throwing his arms in tantrums, sending emails to everybody, and no one responded to him. And he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, what makes him the next one?
I don't know, but I learned a lesson from that. If somebody bothers you enough, if you ignore them enough, they will go away.
That's right.
You know, and then I thought all the critics of the paranormal were gone, and so I just read that post. So there's still people out there.
That's right.
And that's fair. They can do what they want. We can promote it. They can, what's the word, de-promote? That's not even a good word.
De-promote?
They can criticize. What do you think, Kevin? You've been investigating two different groups. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I totally agree with you and John Zapp. If you don't like it, stay away from it. We're out there trying to help you. That's the bottom line of all this.
No, we're here to teach.
Yeah.
That's worked out pretty well.
No one told me about that.
Yeah, if I get a TV show, I'll be jumping up and down. But our first and foremost is we're here to help you. If we talked about this in our last radio show. If you're going to be here, you're going to be here for the research and to help out whoever is looking for your input. Those people that are going to contact us are looking for some kind of help toward their last ditch effort. So we just got to be available to them and for those paranormal police or whoever they are that want to show up and try and disprove us or try and knock us back. Like you're saying, just let them go, do themselves a favor, and they'll put themselves out of that
situation. Now, come on, we need them. They're yin to our yang, or our yin to our yang, whatever.
Yeah, so, I'll agree that we need skeptics. I don't think that we need someone who's only there to make sure that you're wrong.
Well, you know, the paranormal TV shows, though, they're pretty well, not all, some of them are overdone. You gotta remember, they're gonna shoot a half hour episode. Sometimes they're there 2 weeks, night after night, to the point where the film crew's like, make something happen, will you?
Right.
You wanna go on to the next place. So, but you can't make this stuff happen, man. You know, I'm sure there are certain spells or whatever you can play around with, but most of the time you can't make it happen.
You refer to the TV shows being there weeks and weeks, a couple weeks at a time. Even us, when we go to a location, and we're there just overnight, and we can be sitting in dark rooms all night, nothing happens.
Well, yeah.
And that happens more times than not, because everybody that sees these TV shows don't realize that it's all just cut together, and boy, this stuff happens within an hour, and these guys are out the dirt. No, this is all night affair. This is not wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Ghosts just don't come out, or what have you, just don't come out and say, here I am, film. Unfortunately, I wish sometimes they would, but it doesn't happen that way.
Well, you know, it's like anything, people get upset with us because we come in their house, we don't find anything. Or we come in and
have
experiences,
happened.
But
yeah.
We go through our recorders and our cameras and don't find anything. And then they never call us again. You didn't know what you're doing. Okay.
But you should that goes along. That has happened to us a few times. Though we've been to houses and said, "There's nothing. We can come back if you like. You didn't see nothing. You didn't catch it. No. It just goes to say too that you know when we go to a consultation, I usually say to the person, you know, you could be seeing this and this and this. The frying pans could be leaping off the shelves and flying across the room for you. We're here for a few hours a night, and you know, we can't make them do their thing. Unfortunately.
Did you know that New Zealand is being plagued by vampires?
This is news. I haven't heard
that. As in the Dracula type of vampire? Or?
Well, Dracula is a vampire or something.
I mean, there are people running around thinking they're vampires.
Well, authorities in a small New Zealand town have been left perplexed by the peculiar series of white. Several instances, one of the attacks which occurred outside a supermarket involved a woman whose ear was badly bitten during a fight with two other females.
Sounds like Mike Tyson.
It is understood that her ear was still in one piece, but that the injury was bad enough to require hospital treatment. Okay. The second incident which took place later the same night involved a different woman who jumped on top of a man who had been fighting with her brother. Of course, she sunk her teeth into his neck so forcibly that he ended up having to be treated for blood loss in the local hospital.
Wow.
Wow, talk about vampire movies. So, but What's interesting is that this just sounds like two cases of crazy, but it's interesting how the news sites will spin this around. So it's kind of like NBC does with the Today Show when they talk about the weather. Killer snowstorm coming in. It's the end of all. Al Roker dramatizes the weather. Like, these two fights, they dramatize the vampire. Now, everything I know about vampires is they don't fight for either of them.
Right.
Mainly go for the jugular and suck it dry.
Is it because you're throwing the word vampire into that it's attracting the attention and getting the hits on the internet?
Yeah. So I'm really sure that the authorities are perplexed and think that... Yeah, that's how the constables think up here, too.
Right.
Yeah, the Mike Tyson vampire.
We think salts or heroin or just, you know, people are off the meds. But it's just interesting how weird stuff gets called or pushed into the realm of paranormal when it's not. And that's why sometimes I think paranormal is a sketchy name. Because, you know, I mean, people always have a story. A lot of times, the story's weird. Granted, yeah, but hard to be.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if they said werewolves were in this town in New Zealand, then that would catch my attention. You know, because there is a werewolf in this town.
Really?
Yes. What do they call it? Something wrong with werewolf. Yeah. Stuff. See, I always look to him for when I'm ready to see something, I forget what it is. I look at Kevin.
This is news to me.
I don't know why you're looking at me. It's almost like you're writing your own blog over here. And he's figuring out what you're talking about.
He's giving Rich this kind of funny look. Like,
you're
like
really? Vampires. I'm making this stuff up.
What group did I go
into? I've never had any vampire training. I'm just wondering. Crucifix? I don't know. Some of the shows doesn't do anything.
Crucifix, what is it? There's like a suitcase, right? You get a suitcase, a stake, a hammer.
Did you ever see Pawn Stars when the guy brought in the actual vampire?
Yes, yes, I did.
Okay,
yes.
Now you're good.
No,
okay.
Yes, that was good.
Now I'm not making up my own blocks here.
I saw that one.
That thing was really cool. I would have paid some money to have
that. Did he end up turning him away?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Buy. I think some of it wasn't actually authentic. It was like made in the 60s.
Right.
He was claiming it was like from his great-great-grandfather from Transylvania.
Who would buy anything other than somebody like you or I, you know, that's in the paranormal?
I think having a vampire kit would be awful damn cool.
I would
buy it. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have my spirit box and my dagger and my old one.
That's right.
If there's anyone out there in our office, you know, just ever use holy water in investigation, I'd like to know. I'd like to hear from you. I'm still trying to figure out if there was a place for it in the paranormal field.
I do bring a little bottle of holy water with me on every investigation. It's more of my power or my belief is in the power of the people. I've never been really a religious person, but like you were saying earlier, you've got good people and you've got evil people. When you die, you're still
who you are.
Good spirit. And if they believe in Catholicism very strongly, it doesn't matter if they were an evil person. There's a lot of people who are evil, like serial killers that had a really strong belief in Catholicism.
Oh, sure.
They're still going to be offended by these religious articles.
I want you to try it really quickly.
Yeah, I believe that. I think, you know, now that you mention it, I think Pete has it too. Pete carries it with him, and it's there just in case it's needed. I don't think he's ever had to use it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've got cross, I've got holy water, I've got rosary.
I had one of our members when he first joined. I won't say who it is, but you probably know immediately who it is. That actually gave me a bottle of holy water when he joined our group. And I still have it to this day. I shouldn't laugh, but it's an actual, you know, like all those TV shows you see, and it's in like one of those, and they go, oh, this is pretty nifty. And I still have the bottle, and it still has the holy water.
Beck, you servant of Satan. It burns. You know, all kidding aside, a couple things. He did get a request from a woman one time who said that she believes her husband's possessed. And she shot a video of him sleeping. And he was mumbling something about killing this man and other thing. And they, I guess he had a whole bunch of guns in their house too. So they wanted us to come out and meet with him, see if he actually was in fact possessed. Now, the first thing to keep in mind is, you know, guns. So we're like, yeah, we're not going to meet at your house. Let's meet someplace, in a safe place, like a McDonald's, Dunkin', someplace public where essentially, you know, our comings and goings can be seen by others. Then the other thing is, when Pete and Steve,
yeah, we went on that. And,
when they went out, I asked John Zampis, I was like, can you give these guys a couple tips to what to expect or how they can, like, trip this guy up? Because we don't know, maybe this will legit. So he said, like, take something that's holy, an object, disguise it, and put it in front of him. I'll let Steve tell the story how he did it. But take that object, put it in front of him, and see if he reacts to it. Now, obviously, if you're like, this is holy water, he's like, ah. You told him it's holy water.
Right.
Okay, he's going to put a show on. But if it looks like it's a chocolate cupcake inside of his holy water, and all of a sudden he's looking at it and he's starting to get all nervous and stuff, there's some room to do. So,
we went. We met him at McDonald's. We weren't going nowhere near his house because of gun issue. And this guy, I guess, had been hit in the head with a metal bar and everything. So, he told the story, and then, you know, it's been a few years since we've been there. So, but Pete had something in his pocket. He didn't put it in front of him, as if I remember correctly. He put it in his pocket. And the guy didn't act any stranger than anybody else would, but he did act kind of, and I'm by no means a mental health professional, I'm not, but you could tell the poor guy was not
all there.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to find a nice way to put it, but you could tell he wasn't with the program all the way, you know, but... at the end of the night, we told the guy left, and his wife was there, and we told her, you might want to get those firearms away from him, because he can be a... He told us a story of what happened to him and in the house, and, you know, it was quite disturbing. And he got up to leave, and he walked out the door, and we told his wife, get those firearms away from him, period.
Now, what was the object that he brought? I mean, was it a crucifix?
I want to say it was a St. Michael's card he put in his pocket. And that's what I want to say. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And he reacted no different than anything. But he was quite, and Pete, they left. Pete and I looked at each other and said, we're not going there. this gentleman has firearms, and we weren't going to subject any of our teammates to that. You never know. Somebody, unfortunately, with a mental condition, you know, we're in his house investigating. He goes off his rocker, grabs one or two of his guns, starts shooting everybody, and I wasn't having a part of it. And I wasn't putting anybody, any one of our teammates, in that position to do so.
You know what's interesting? What I was told about anything that's demonic, trickery is a tool of the devil. Essentially, it truly worked out.
Mm-hmm.
What you least think you expect to happen will happen, and what you don't expect to happen will happen. So sometimes you look to people like, you know, like the wife, for instance, that she's basically come across, oh, I'm so concerned about my husband. And in some instances, I should say in many instances, she's involved.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
She's basically provoking it. You know what I mean? So sometimes it comes across when you think that this person is surrounded by people who love and adore him.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they're basically there for his destruction. And I know it sounds weird, it sounds like a conspiracy theory-ish, or, you know, stepford wives, or paranormal activity, or whatever, but that has been the case. mm-hmm. many cases that I hear talk to people about. So it's just kind of scary when, you know, you're there to help somebody and you think people that are with them are there too.
Absolutely. So Pete just came back down and he said that they have a book for us.
Wow.
Yeah. This one actually.
Yeah.
I just said previously, I always say my name and this and that. And this sounds very clearly, it sounds like it's saying my name, but we'll you know, let you listen.
Wait, what did that say? It says Larry?
It sounds like it says Larry to me, but it might just be me.
Yeah.
It sounds like a little girl.
Yeah.
Larry or Daddy or too close to Larry to be something else.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds like that.
What was the question that you asked?
I didn't ask a question at that time, but throughout the whole time upstairs, I always say my name, say my name, say my name. So I don't know. It's yeah, I don't know. The apple one's really good. I like that.
That one.
Also, that sounded like a little kid.
It did.
And it didn't sound like it was like part of a radio.
It didn't sound like it was the ghost. When it came through, it didn't sound like it was the ghost box at all.
No. Can you play it again?
Yeah. Also, a weird thing going on up there was the temperature gauge would change on the box, and then the K2 meter would go off. The temperature would go up again, and then the K2 meter would go up.
Yeah.
That was happening when we were here before with John Zappas.
Correlating things. The temperature, the K2, mm-hmm. and spirit, decent spirit box hits. So we'll play that one more time and...
That said Larry.
Yeah, it did.
That time I closed my eyes and I pushed the headphones in.
There's syllables there. There's syllables.
Yeah. Larry.
Right.
Larry.
It's very tinny, too, if you listen just through this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you move it?
Well, Pete ended up telling me, I showed him this, and he goes, when we were upstairs, he thought he could have sworn he heard somebody talking across the way that sounded like a little kid. And I played this to him. He said that sounded just like the voice from over on the side. So
right, it sounds like Larry.
Yeah, Larry.
Yeah,
that is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very good.
Not
very
too bad.
Good. Yeah,
not too bad for just what 15-20 minutes upstairs doing something.
Right.
Yep.
Sometimes we go all night without getting anything, and you've already got two clips. We've been here doing it for what 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So again, we're broadcasting live from the Finish Line in downtown Utica. Great place to stop by, have a glass of wine, a beer. Marcus is an awesome cook. Your host is
fabulous.
And Lorian, they're awesome too to deal with. And come on down and check it out. It's kind of a cool place. They actually have a quilt store attached too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really into quilting. But if I were, this is where I would go and get the stuff. So
you're not into quilting, Rich? Come on.
Nicole doesn't look like she's a quilter.
Nah, I'm not a big quilter.
Nicole's like, for those of us who know Nicole, Nicole's like one of the guys.
Yes, she is.
She's like kind of one of the guys where, you know, you can talk like a guy and she just laughs along with us. You know? So it's actually kind of cool. Because I've never really had a friend. There was a girl that was like one of the guys, so interesting. You know what I mean?
I feel
you're one of the guys.
I feel more comfortable around a girl that's like one of the guys. You can see whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and she's really cool. But at the same time, she's just recently married to a nice gentleman. I've only met him a few times, but. As long as you do that,
Nicole.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's a good guy. He's a good boy.
There you go.
So we like Rich just said, we're live from the Shops at the Finish Line, and one of the proprietors of the establishment is Sue, and I'd like to see her and get her on the air for a little bit here before we have to leave the air, see if she has experienced anything while she's here.
Sue, would you like to share?
Sue, would you like to share?
I'm sorry. Share what?
You gotta come over here.
What am I sharing?
Sue, would you like to share?
So, how long have you been here in business?
Well, the business has been here about 12 years.
Okay.
Personally, I've worked here about 4.
And since you've been here, I'm sure you've been here by yourself a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And those few times you've been here by yourself, how many times have you actually witnessed anything strange going on? If you have.
By myself, many times. I don't really work by myself much anymore, but a couple of years ago I used to close.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost always heard my desk was over there, and I almost always, pretty much every night around 4:30, I would hear walking above my head.
Okay.
Right around the same time.
Okay.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that's
creepy. Yeah, when you're by yourself.
When you know you're by yourself.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to see anything, just the sense of hearing it.
Yeah.
And wondering what's coming down those stairs.
Yeah, and we still hear that a lot, you know. We hear it all the time, but it when other people are here, it's kind of fun to hear it. But when you're by yourself, it's not so fun.
Especially when the lights are out. Some of the lights are out, and it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So you heard things. Have you ever seen anything?
To be honest with you, the first time I've ever seen anything, which was strange to me, was last week. Really seen anything. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, like out of the corner of my eye, think, you know, kind of look again because I think I, you know, but I always blow it off. But last week, for some reason, I saw something. I was sitting at the bar and I looked over toward the kitchen because Marcus was in the kitchen. And I don't actually see out of my right eye. I'm legally blind. But for some reason, I saw a figure of a man in that side, which was very strange to me because I don't see anything out of that eye. So it really kind of caught me off guard, and I just turned my head quick, and of course it was gone. But it was enough where I called Marcus out. I'm like, oh, my God. I can't believe what just happened, you know.
It's spooky.
But, yeah, it was kind of weird, you know. Usually it's mostly hearing things and having lights go back on. We have that a lot.
Voices? Voices.
Voices. Yes, we've heard a lot. In that little, the Larry that we just heard, the little child, we've heard child's voice several times here.
Okay.
So that's
interesting.
Yeah. A lot of things.
Active place.
Very active.
We've always had good luck here when we investigated, coming away with something. You've investigated here before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yes.
With
John Zappas this past summer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever asked? Nope, I haven't investigated
here
yet.
You're next.
We're cherry. But it's interesting because we started the first time we investigated, and now we're getting more and more stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You know? That first time we investigated, we didn't really have much happen, did we? But since then, it's really gotten pretty active.
Yeah, it's... And I don't know if it goes back to theory that maybe they know who we are now.
Oh,
my
God.
So,
you
got about 60 seconds.
So, yeah.
60 seconds.
You want to summarize anything up here, Steve, and take us out?
Well, I want to say thank you very much for having us this evening here
at
your establishment.
Thank you.
It's been great. The food is good. The french fries are good. And... yeah, real good.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yes. And, that's just about it. We had a great show. Good show for us this evening. And we got to brave the snowy weather on our way home. And for Paranormal Investigator Radio, my name is Steve.
This is Nicole.
This is Kevin. And I am Rich. May all of your next paranormal nights.
You see, now next show, people are going to call us and say, you know what, you scared the heck out of me, Rich. Thanks very much.
And we always say here at RIP,
stay spooky, everybody.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.